And so whilst Robert was tinkering with gadgets and gizmos, I campaigned. Save the whales, save the rainforests, save the chimpanzees and the libraries. And I started a revolutionary punk band.
Hello, I'm Roslyn Hyams with this week's Arts in France report on RFI. This is a sort of refrain from the 1927 theatre company's latest show called Golem, which is on stage at the Théâtre de la Ville's space in Montmartre. It contains all the usual elements of good drama: love, rivalry, family problems, challenges of all kinds. It's the story of Robert and his family, and how a man-made creature almost takes over their lives. Golem is a play for all ages, with real actors wearing dramatic makeup, bright and structured costumes. They sing and speak in rhyme, and they interact with animated scenery and characters on film. Suzanne Andrade and Paul Barrett are the highly creative directors of the company who have caught the spirit of the times. The play's content and matter are what might be described as thoughtfully hip. Golem raises very current questions about new technology, how we all need it today, but how it can easily rule our lives. The character of Golem is a plasticine creature which evolves during the play into...
I have fashionable boots, a great haircut, I can jump so high. Hey Robert, I'm over here. Golem too can fly.
I met Suzanne Andrade and Paul Barrett, the founders of the London, UK-based company 1927 here in Paris. Suzanne explained why they'd chosen this story this time.
We based the show on the Jewish myth of the golem. I say we based it. We used that as a starting point, and then we sort of leapt from that. So in the original myth, it's about a rabbi who creates, who fashions a man out of clay and brings him to life using Kabbalist sort of magic. And his golem, as he's called, will obey his every command. We used the story as a sort of starting point, and we didn't really know where the show was going to go. We knew we wanted an actor, a live man on stage, and a man made of clay. We thought that would be quite a striking image, and that really stayed with us. And then going back to the original myth, that was when we started pulling it apart and seeing what we could use. And in some ways, we were looking for a perfect story, a really complete story that we could just sort of shove loads of ideas on top of. But it doesn't really exist, which is one of the brilliant things about the story. It's rather open-ended, so we had to create our own story from it. Is it about creation? Is it about man playing God? Is it about control? Is it about magic forces? Is it about that whole relationship between the sort of master and servant?
This seems very operatic, pulling all the different elements of stagecraft together.
We were commissioned to make Mozart's The Magic Flute a few years ago, so we made that. But before that experience, we had never heard Mozart's The Magic Flute or very much opera at all. And what 1927 do, it's a real collaboration between music and text and performance and animation and technology as well. And there's it's very collaborative, it has to be, for it to work. And so all of those aspects work really well for opera.
Oh, she was so calm. She made me feel like a king.
1927's Golem is lively from start to finish. There's always something going on. And in Paris, it felt as if one scene in particular was tailor-made for audiences here, if not a play on a cliché.
The French bar scene and with the accordion music and everything, especially for Paris, because you have been here before.
We may have been inspired by our trips around bars in Paris for that scene, Café Parisien, but it's mainly through those kind of really awful bars that you probably get in Paris as much as England, that those real Café Parisien, it's done in a French style. And we just kind of came up with the idea of it and started playing with it and sort of thought it seemed like a very good setting for a scene. So it wasn't made specifically for Paris, but maybe some nights down at L'Autobus have inspired it.
Yeah, certainly the aesthetic. Yeah, definitely.
What else inspired, particularly for the figure of Golem?
For the figure of Golem, well, I mean, we made quite a few different prototypes. I mean, the initial idea was to make his face fairly blank and expressionless, which has worked quite well, I think. And then Little Golem, Golem number two, he took a lot of making as well. That, it was a lot of different... the body, I got the body almost straight away because we made this little suit, but the head, we made quite a lot of different heads for it. But we, again, so the head off of Little Golem is based around the old silent film Golem, the Paul Wegener film, because he has this sort of like helmet, and so I based, so it looks sort of like a Czech toy circa 1920 or so. I don't know what it is, but that's what it looks like.
Safe from the knowledge that your Golem is undergoing slight changes so he can function faster and more efficiently.
Will I never.
Apart from very well-honed stage skills, what sets 1927's Golem apart from other plays is the very large role played by animated film projected onto a backdrop or onto different parts of the decor.
Everything is quite all right.
For most animators, they would find it very difficult to do what we do in... And particularly, it's the level of devising the show, because we're devising the show, so you have to make, you have to change it all the time. You constantly have to change the animations, and most animators work to a storyboard in a very fixed. But that never happens, you know, which is pretty horrific to most animators. I'd have thought that idea, but
it's quite risky business then. Although you rehearse for a year.
Yeah, it's not risky once it's up and ready. It's fine. I mean, well, it could be, because I mean, a lot of things can go wrong. Projectors can die and things like that. Yeah, I guess there is a bit of a risk in it. But we've worked it. That's why we spend so long making it, you know, because you pretty much hedge your bets.
So the actors and performers actually have to be as spot on and as regular as an animation character.
I mean, animation is always spot on and regular. Because it's, once you've done it, you've done it. But actors aren't. But that is the big role, the big mission, is to make the actors seamlessly merge with the animation, and that's the huge part of, that's the big part of the rehearsal process, and a huge part of the directing style and the general style of performance.
Today it's quite rare, though, isn't it, to have that amount of rehearsal time? How do you manage it?
We certainly don't own, you know, yachts or even caravans, that's how. But our producer's very good at raising money, and the shows that we've made have been quite successful and have toured for years all over the world, or have done long runs like the Magic Flutes, playing in lots of different places. And so each show has a long life, which kind of justifies the amount of time it takes to make it. And it is very rare, very, very rare, to have this amount of rehearsal period. But it means you get a very tight ensemble and a team that really understand each other and really enjoy working together. It's a very enriching experience working like that. Maybe we won't always be able to carry on.
I mean, this connects with the themes of the show. There is something to be said for taking a long time over things. It's not something that's really done that much, like you say, in the contemporary world. So, you know, maybe taking a bit of time isn't such a bad thing, and maybe people should do more of that.
Is the year of the first talkie movie. The company hitches its style on that slightly overdramatic era of entertainment, heavy black eye makeup included. Along with its almost surgically precise performances, there are moments when your brain is caught wondering whether you're watching a three-dimensional film or a two-dimensional play on stage.
Here in the backup world, we back up the back.
You back up the backup.
We pencil bar and code into ledgers, ones and zeros.
Zeros and ones.
That brings us to the end of this week's Arts in France on Radio France International. Thanks to Suzanne Andrade and Paul Barrett and the 1927 Company with their play Golem. And thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Leisure, pleasure, time on our hands. We are a high-definition human race. We wear fantastic colours. We wake every day with a smile on our face. To understand how we live now, you need to see contradiction and clutter.